I've been in the legislature now for 13 years, and I just think the world of it. I just highly respect the legislative process, and of course, what it is, the legislature is really the people's body. You know, the governor's administration and the court system are pretty far removed from us, but the legislature is made up of people's neighbors and people live down the street and people they know and see on a regular basis. So it really is the people's way of having an impact on their government.
Let me have you put on your professor's hat here.
Sure.
If I recall, there was quite a significant period of time between the possession of Alaska and also the, was it the second Organic Act that called for
the territory? It was the second Organic Act, right.
Why so long?
Well, we were so small. You know, that was it, really. We were a very small population, and they had trouble, making a territory, and then finally they agreed to do that. And then when it came to statehood in 59, again, we were pretty small and didn't know that we could actually pay our own way, so there was a lot of concern about that at that time as well. But in both instances, they moved ahead with the Second Organic Act, which created the territory, and then statehood in 59, which created the state. So, the question always was, can Alaska pay its own way?
There were some discussions, though, that the territorial legislature at the time wasn't as, I guess it wasn't what Alaskans really wanted. It's
right.
Limited in powers. Can you tell me a little bit about, some of the...
That's true. First, there were only 8 senators, and they came from the judicial districts instead of being elected from the communities like they were when we became a state. So there were 8 senators and 16 representatives. They all came from pretty much the same area. When you look at the roster, you see most were from Nome and from Fairbanks. So just around the state in those judicial districts. And the truth of the matter is they didn't have much power when we were a territory. We were controlled by the federal government. We had one delegate to Congress who could not vote and represented us there, but really was not a voting member of Congress even. So we simply didn't have the rights that you have as a state, and we're sort of neglected in that way and at that time. And just not able really to govern ourselves. So you're right. I mean, the territorial days, we were not really in charge of our own destiny as we were when we became a state, you know.
Do you recall, though, the position of Congress and White House at that point in time and not allowing the territory to have the rights that maybe it was entitled to? What the thinking was at that particular point?
You know, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I know when we were purchased, there was a lot of, after the Civil War, there was a lot of opposition, and that was finally pushed through.
I guess what I was asking, or I was trying to get to, is whether the fishing and mining interests were so predominant, so powerful at that time, that they pressured the federal government not to allow the territorial legislature to have the rights and the control that it...
Well, that's really quite true. You know, the fishing industry was controlled by a large Seattle canneries, and I do remember reading that at statehood there was a concern that if we became a state that we would raise the tax on the case of salmon. And I think what they were afraid of is if we raised it 1 cent, the canneries through their spokesman said that if we raise the tax on canned salmon per case, that they would leave and never come back to Alaska, which is really great to hear that, because frankly, that's a very similar thing we hear from the oil companies today. You know, if you don't lower our taxes, we're going away and not coming back. And anyway, that's what they said in the salmon days too. That they were lobbying the salmon canneries. Frankly, were lobbying Congress not to allow statehood.
You kind of alluded to this earlier, but the territorial legislature was really kind of forward-thinking. You mentioned women's suffrage earlier, and then there was also prohibition and civil rights, which, you know, those were issues that the Alaska legislature was kind of ahead of the curve, at least with respect to the rest of the country.
Yeah, we can be really proud of that, the fact that I think one other state had passed women's suffrage by the time we became, by the time our territorial legislature met in 1914, we were able to pass women's suffrage as the first bill, which is pretty interesting, I think, that Alaska was able to do that. And then when you get to the statehood. What's sort of interesting is that the same people were involved in the legislature during territory days the last few years as were involved in the first state legislature. And actually, many of them were also involved in the Constitutional Convention that met in Fairbanks that wrote our Constitution. So you see a lot of the same names from territorial days through Constitutional Convention through statehood.
We talked a little bit about some of the things that the territorial legislature did not have control over. What did it have control over?
Well, that's a very good question, and I'm not really not sure I can answer that. You know, they met for a short period of time. They met every year for a short period of time. They did pass local laws. They did pass criminal laws. We did not have a court at that time, so all the courts were controlled by the federal government, and it wasn't until we became a state that that we decided that we needed to build a court. And in fact, that's one of the interesting things that happened, is that when we were the first year of statehood, the decision had been made that we would leave the federal courts in place for a couple of years until we got around to figuring out what kind of court system we had. But once the legislatures got here in 59, they said, no, we really need to have a court system right away. And so they created it just out of whole cloth and created the whole court system, the local courts, a Superior Court, the Supreme Court, as well as the Judicial Council, which appoints judges. And they were, the right word, I think, is progressive, very progressive, and did some things that other states had not done.
The federal government still had control over the purse strings, though, for the territory, though, right?
Yes, they did, absolutely. When we were a territory, they did have that. There was some small taxation on fish products, but it was pretty low.
And that was largely the only industry at that point.
Exactly, yeah. Well, there was mining, of course, and I don't know if the state benefited from mining taxes. And, of course, the big issue at the time that really carried through for many, many years was the issue of fish traps, you know, that canneries owned the fish traps. And sort of the fishermen were not much needed and were not able to be much involved in the fishing industry. So one of the first things we did when we became a state is to do away with fish traps.
Well, that was kind of the impetus for the whole statehood, one of them anyways, right?
Oh, no question about it. It was a very, very big issue, and Alaska could never go back on that deal.